Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us life and giving us this world to live in. Thank you for asking us to be good stewards of this world. And we pray, Lord, that as we do that, we might represent you and our Lord Jesus. Please help us to do that well. For his sake we pray. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to our second in this three-week series on work and faith. And we're going to do a number of things during today's sermon slot. I'm going to talk about work as service. I'm going to ask you to talk to each other about your work. I'll talk about the need for the church to support you in your work and discuss a problem that needs to be overcome. I want to pray for you all towards the end of the sermon. And then finally, I want to ask you to pray for each other. So there'll be a couple of points of interaction. And I hope you'll be comfortable enough to take part as I direct. What do you think or feel when I say the word housework? Burden, nuisance, irritation, all of those sorts of things. These are things we just have to do whether we want to or not. We have to tidy up, we have to wash our clothes, we have to do the shopping, we have to put the bins out. Now, I was reading an article during the week about housework in which the author Alison Sampson has developed a different perspective on housework. She says she is now able to see housework as a gift from God and not a curse. How has she managed to do that, you wonder? Well, she explains it like this. As she does her housework, she thinks about what that housework represents in terms of a blessing from God. Here are some examples. She says, "We have clothes to wash because we have clothes to wear, and for some of us, beloved children who wear them. We have dishes to clean because we have food to eat and dishes to eat from. We have toilets to clean because we have indoor plumbing and a private place to do our business. We have surfaces to dust because we have space and money for books and games and everything else. The very existence of housework tells us we are blessed, and for that we might be grateful." Now, isn't that a refreshing perspective? Because she sees housework as a gift from God and a source of blessing, she's liberated to serve her family with a joy that she wouldn't otherwise have, and to see God as she goes from room to room doing the work itself. And when you think about it, this is probably the first opportunity we have as human beings to learn about work and serving. Even little children can help the happy running of a house by doing certain things that might be called work. For example, putting their toys away, or standing up at the bench and helping mix a cake mix, or feeding the cat. I grew up having to dry the dishes, and for those of you who remember this, I had to take the milk bottles out and put them down near the post, our letterbox. And yes, work can be boring and repetitious and tedious and frustrating and difficult and exhausting. Yes, it can be all of those. But I want to suggest today that all work is fundamentally, for Christians, an opportunity to serve God and to serve other people. And in the midst of that, if we have that perspective, we're able to experience God's blessing and encouragement. Through our work, we can bring honour to God and provide services that meet the needs of others. Just think about the reading that we've just had and has also occurred prior to the confession from Mark 12, known as the Great Commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbours as yourself. One way we can put that commandment into practice is through how we approach our work. We can love God through our work by doing it for his glory rather than just for ourselves, for our own satisfaction, for our own sort of career motives. And we can love our neighbour through our work when we see work as an opportunity to serve others, not just to tick off a to-do list or to achieve a goal, but to actually see the people at the receiving end of what it is we're doing and to do it with a heart of service. No matter what work a Christian does, it can all be approached in this way. And every day, regardless of what age we are, we have the opportunity to honour God and bless others. So one thing I want to say is to you is whatever your work is, it is of immense value and it has inherent worth. What you're doing matters. Now, I had to learn this connection between God and work when I was in my 20s. I had grown up as a teenager knowing what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a secondary school teacher. I wanted to be an English teacher and a history teacher. And so when I went to Melbourne University and was in the arts faculty, I was in the rare situation of being in an arts faculty knowing what I wanted to do. And I duly became a teacher, and somewhere in the process there in my mid-20s, I became a Christian. And I remember the struggle that I had when my minister was teaching one time and it became apparent through the teaching that God was interested in my work and I had to hand my work to God. And I thought, I don't want to do that. I've wanted to be a teacher since I was 15. If I hand my work to God, he might take it away from me. And I had this real struggle and real wrestle, and eventually I was able to give in and say, well, God's God. God, I offer you my work. If you want me to do something else, then I'm available. That was a very difficult struggle. And then every day I went back to school to teach, I knew I was there with God's blessing. So I think we can learn to serve and use our work as a way of honouring God and serving others that will give us a joy in serving rather than just seeing our work as a drudge and a curse perhaps. Now let me clarify what I mean by the word work. And I've indicated to those of you who are regular members of St. Alf's an invitation to bring a symbol of your work. And if you have brought one today, now will be the time to bring it out. If you haven't, that's okay. But let me just show you some symbols of what I call work. Because I want to suggest that work is a very general idea. Maybe, Liz, you might have on a PowerPoint the definition I'm using. Yes, so I'm just using work as any purposeful activity. Anything we do with intention, with purpose, that sort of thing. So it could be anything. Let me give you some examples from my world. So there's a laptop, a very common item of work. I use that for reading and writing. I wrote this sermon on this laptop. I do a lot of work via email, keeping in touch with lots of people. This is an apron. So some of my work is as a father and as a husband. So Friday night, for example, I had four teenagers for dinner and I did the cooking. Some of my internal work is cleaning and doing clothes and hanging clothes up and all of that sort of stuff. Here are my gardening gloves, nice and dirty, well used, because some of my work is outdoors. Doing bins and cleaning cobwebs off things. Here are my car keys, because I'm a father of three teenagers, and some of my work is transporting them and picking them up. I think I spent the last 48 hours doing that, and sometimes it's delightful. I just am taking myself to somewhere, you know, even a meeting, and then I can choose what radio station to listen to. Oh, a bit of recognition there. And there's an old-fashioned checkbook. So some of my work I get paid for, and that's good. And some of my actual work is to pay other people. So I handle all the family finances, make sure we stay solvent, do the tax and all of that. And that's hard work, isn't it? You know, when you have to keep all the accounts and everything like that. Let me go back to where I've started today, that whatever you're doing, whatever you just discussed as work, is an opportunity to serve God and serve others. And you could be doing this in many different ways, as a paid employee, as a volunteer, as a part-time person, doing work pro bono, as a student, a carer, a parent, a grandparent. There are lots and lots of different contexts in which we do work. And I just want to say that this is just one way of Christians integrating their faith and their work is how you approach it by seeing it as not just an opportunity to serve your own needs, achieve your own goals, but to see it as a way of serving God and serving the people that you're in contact with. It helps us bring God into our work rather than leaving God at church, or as some people describe it, connecting Sunday and Monday. Paul says in Colossians 3:28, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice he says, whatever you do, whatever we do can be done in Christ's name and be an act of service. So if you're working in IT, for example, you are serving by helping keeping organizations and businesses efficient and productive. If you're an artist or a writer or a musician, you are serving people and serving God by creating ways for others to see reality in ways we wouldn't otherwise have. If you work in retail or sales, you can serve by helping people find the goods they need as painlessly as possible. And if you're at home with children or grandchildren, you can serve by loving those children and giving them the security that they need to grow up into independent adults. There are all sorts of ways that people can serve because there are all sorts of contexts in which we work. Now, I hope I've made that clear. Now, in an ideal world, I think Christians would be able to approach their work like this and have that sense of, I'm with God, I'm serving God, I'm doing something purposeful and useful, and that would be self-sustaining. It would motivate you to keep going. But I know that that's not the case. We often feel battered around by our work. We often feel exhausted and frustrated. And so we have to find ways to support one another. Our growth group context is a great place to talk about, you know, what you need for, in terms of support from your growth group. And our church is a great way to find support as well. But when I've been talking about this series with people, and even thinking about it before developing this series, there was a problem that emerged in discussion that I want to address quite straight on. And the problem is best explained with an example from English author Mark Green, who writes a lot on faith and work issues. Here's the example, and I hope it illustrates the problem I want to address. There's a lady who is a teacher in a particular part of England, and she's a Christian, and she didn't feel very supported by her church in her teaching job. Now, this teacher worked long hours in a difficult school. She had difficult children, and the parents were hard work as well. But she also volunteered as a Sunday school teacher at her church. The kids were wonderful, and the parents loved her. Now, the church prayed for her in her role as a Sunday school teacher, along with the other Sunday school teachers, but never had she had anyone at church ask her about her teaching role or pray for her about her full-time work. So, in other words, her role inside the church community was honoured and supported in prayer, and that's good, but she felt that her role outside the church was completely unrecognized. So was the church inadvertently saying to her that her 1 hour a week of Sunday school teaching was more valuable or more worthy than her 50 hours in the local school? Do you see the problem? Now, that problem, or that example, highlights a problem that is in existence, which is in some parts of the Christian world, there is a hierarchy of work where Christian work, in the example it was the Sunday school teaching, Christian work can be seen as more valuable than so-called secular work. Christian ministry might be seen as more worthy of prayer and support than work in other places. Now, it might help you to know that this is not a new problem. The medieval Catholic Church took this view. In those days, it was taken for granted that the work of the church was the only work that God was interested in. The spiritual work that affected the souls of people was much, much more important than the everyday work of the people. Consequently, this elevated the role of the priest and the monk and the nun and diminished the roles of ordinary people. Now, when the 16th century Reformation occurred, leaders and thinkers like Luther and Calvin attacked this hierarchy of work and explained that all work is valuable in God's eyes. Although ministers have a special role in the church, all Christians are called, that word calling became very important, all Christians are called to represent Christ wherever they are. All are called to be Christian witnesses in whatever work they are doing. All are called to use their gifts to serve others. This meant for Luther that the work of a milkmaid or a ploughboy was as valuable to God as the work of a priest. There would be no distinction in their minds between so-called sacred work and so-called secular work. All is valuable to God as every believer uses their gifts to serve God and the community. Now, the Reformers described this as the priesthood of all believers. All believers, all Christians, have a role in representing God in the world and caring for the world that God has created and caring for that world through their work. So the ploughboy is caring for the land in a way that a priest or a nun wouldn't be doing, and a baker is doing different work, etc. All work is valuable. Now, modern theologian or contemporary theologian Jim Packer explains it this way. He says that humans are made to manage God's world, and this stewardship is part of the human vocation in Christ. It calls for hard work with God's honour and the good of others at its goal, and this is the real Protestant work ethic. Now, this insight and approach that all work is valuable to God is nearly 500 years old, but it seems to have got lost along the way. What I'm saying here is I think, although the medieval Catholic Church had a particular approach to this, I think we are still at risk of having a different hierarchy of work, or a different reason for this hierarchy of work, but still having it. What I suspect is that in evangelical Christian churches, we place an emphasis on Bible teachers and evangelists and missionaries, which is good and appropriate, but inadvertently we have created a diminishing of regular work, of so-called secular work. And it creates in some people in church an uneasiness about whether or not my work is worthy of talking about and asking for prayer about. Now, I think this is a difficult balance. Yes, we need people to go into Christian service. We need people to lead churches and teach the Bible and spread the gospel. That's one of the things St. Alfred's is committed to, and we talk about mission and pray for missionaries and do all of that. But we also need Christians in every workplace using their gifts and being God's ambassadors. Don't we need Christians in the media? I mean, how many times do you read a newspaper or watch something and think, good gracious, where is our world going to? Don't we need Christians in the world of politics? Don't we need Christians in the world of fashion and design? Don't we need Christians in the worlds of sport and entertainment? We need Christians to be God's ambassadors wherever they are. So I want to say to you that whatever is your work, whether you are in business, a trade, a profession, whether you're studying, a volunteer, a carer, a parent or grandparent, whatever you're doing called work, that is valuable in God's eyes. That is your place of service. That's where God has put you in order to honour him and serve others. And we want to be a church that does support one another in all these different work contexts. It takes persistence and dedication to serve God every day. Some of you, well, you may have tomorrow off, but let's say later on in the week, some of you will be going into difficult work situations this coming week. I have no doubt about that. I am going into a difficult work situation this week just because of the job I do. I don't even know what this week will hold entirely. So we need to support one another in order to keep each other believing that God has got us where he wants us and that we can be of service. So I want to apologise to you on behalf of the church if you have not felt supported in your work, and I don't want this to go on. I want to put a stop to it right here and now, because I want to pray for everyone as your senior minister and encourage you in whatever your work situation is. And then at the end of that, if you would like to, if you feel able to, I'd like you to pray for each other around the things that you've just discussed when you talked about the things that you do as work. And that's what I want to do to finish today's sermon. I want to finish in prayer, because I don't want anyone here today to be like that lady in that illustration who said, no one ever prayed for me in my work, my church never took any interest. I want to stop that and say, let's at least once pray for you all. I'm going to do it as a representative of the church, and then you pray for one another. If you feel uncomfortable about praying for one another, just feel free to sit quietly while others do that. So I am about to pray for you in your work. This will naturally have a sort of general feel to it. And then at the end of it, I'll invite you to sit, and then you can pray for one another more specifically. Gracious God, thank you for creating the world and all that is in it. Thank you for creating us in your image and calling us to be faithful stewards of your creation. Thank you for the opportunities you give us to serve you and to serve our neighbours in our work. Thank you for everyone here today, for their desire to live out their faith in their places of work. Please give them wisdom, Lord, to know how to do this. Empower them in their relationships at work so that they might treat all of their colleagues with respect and love. Encourage each person when they feel alone, and empower them by your Spirit when they struggle to serve you and to be faithful in their jobs. Show each person how they can bear witness to you at work in both word and deed, and help them to do so in a way that is appropriate and respectful. For those here today who are in leadership as bosses, as team leaders, and employers, please, Lord, give them wisdom as they lead, patience with their difficulties, and energy in creating a good work environment for all their staff. Please help each person to work with honesty and integrity as though working for you and not just a human boss. May this church, dear Lord, be a place of encouragement and support for everyone in their work. Fill each person with your Spirit, so they might serve you and serve their neighbours in their workplaces. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.